We bring greetings this morning in the precious name of Jesus, and welcome to each and every one that is here this morning. Special welcome to our families, to our visitors and families, yes. Welcome. Turn to Luke chapter 11. I'd like to read the first four verses. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass as he was praying, Jesus was praying in a certain place, that he ceased. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now turning over to Matthew chapter 6. We'll start reading in verse 5. Jesus speaking again. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Verse 9, After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll stop reading there for now. A while ago, I had a request to to have a message on prayer. And I don't remember exactly how it all, how the requests went, but different kinds of prayers and the different, what all is included in praying? What does it help? And I don't know if I can answer all those questions, but as I looked at Luke chapter 11 and Matthew 6, there was three or four things that came out pretty clear to me, and that is the content of the prayer. Now Jesus said, I can keep my hand by Matthew, over in Luke, Luke 11, he says, When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in heaven as in earth. In Matthew it says, thy will be done. It's basically the same wording. Mentions in earth before heaven. But the thought I'd like to leave this morning is it is giving praise to the Lord, giving praise to God. That is an ingredient in a prayer that should be in every prayer, is praise to the Lord, praise to God, praise Him for the, you know, give Him glory for being God in our life. Give Him glory for His goodness, for His grace, for His strength in our lives. And I thought of actually just opening it up. How do you find, how do you, as you look at God, as you think of God, this morning Dan said the thought that first pops in, how did you say that? Where's Dan? There he is. So the first thing that you think of in praising God, what is it? Pop it out.
Spiritual, physical protection.
Okay, protection, spiritual, physical. What else?
Salvation, I can have my sword washed away.
Amen. What else?
Unchanging.
I'm sorry?
Unchanging.
Unchanging.
Merciful.
I'm sorry? A guiding hand, okay.
Grace.
Perfect love. Anything else?
Powerful.
Beauty of nature. His goodness.
Holiness.
There was another one. Purity. I'm sorry? Didn't anybody say anything? Okay. Wonderful. That is good. You know, I thought of, of course, the Creator. He's the Creator of all things. Creator of us. Creator of the world. Creator of the universe. He is God over all. He holds us in the hollow of His hand. We heard about salvation, victory, you know, victory over Satan and death, redemption, resurrection, deliverance from evil men and seducers. So how do you express your praise and thanksgiving to God? When you pray, do you thank God for His goodness, for His grace, for His mercy, for His truth, for His word, for His salvation, redemption, grace, and strength? Or is it immediately going into, give us this day our daily bread? How do you enter your prayer this morning? Jesus says, give praise to God. Allow God to be God in your life. So the first ingredient in our prayer should be praise. Praise to the Lord. Praise to God. You know, we can praise Him with our words. We can praise Him with a song, the Bible says. We can praise Him with our life. I'd like to read some verses. A lot of them are in the Psalms. In fact, the ones I have are all of them in the Psalms. And I'm just going to read them real quick. Psalms 33:1. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely to the for the upright. Psalm 34:1. When do we praise the Lord? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise is a choice of the heart. Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and praise. I will sing and give praise. Psalm 50, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Do you realize this evening, this morning, that when we praise God, we are glorifying God? We are bringing glory to his name. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that considereth his conversation or his, to him that ordereth his conversation or his life aright, will I show the salvation of God. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. So the first ingredient should be praise to our God. Now, the second ingredient, according to the model prayer that Jesus gave, is we can and should come to God with our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We bring our needs to the Lord Jesus. We bring our needs to God. We commit them into God's providential care. We trust him to give us what we need when we need it. So, praise him, praise God for his goodness, and pray for your need personally, your personal needs. Pray that God would forgive us our trespasses, those that, the things that in our life that is displeasing to him. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That nothing is between God and us. That there is everything is pure, is free. Pray that we would meet him, that we'd be ready to meet him at a moment's notice. Pray that God would cover us with his blood and protect us from secret sins. Pray that we might be free from the blight of wrong. So we bring God our needs. We also ask him to forgive us our wrongs, our trespasses. And at the same time, we are saying that we want God to treat us as we are treating our fellow man. We are committing ourselves to the golden rule. Therefore, all things in Matthew 7, verse 12, all things whatsoever you would that men do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So there's praise, there's bringing our needs to God, asking for forgiveness, and also allowing God to, or praying that we would treat others as we want God to treat us. Now, going on into, turn to 1 Timothy 1, chapter 1, 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. There's four different kinds of prayers here, and they're all very, very closely related to each other, but there's a slight difference. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks made for If you look up the word supplication here, it a lot of times is is translated prayer. If you look up prayers, of course, it is translated prayers. Intercessions, a lot of times it's translated prayers. And the giving of thanks is also kind of, translated prayers. So there's prayer. So the supplication has the thought of, it says that the widows, I did not write that verse down, that with supplication and prayer. But the supplication means to come to God with, again, with our own need, with the things, helping us, that God would help us with the needs in our heart. An example of this is Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he went to pray, he was praying for his own need. He was praying that God would be able to take the cup that is staring him in the face, that he would take that away from him. And he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But he said, not my will, but thine be done. Sorry. He prayed that the Father would take away the cup, which included suffering, death by crucifixion, taking the sins of all people, present, past, present, and future, upon himself, nailing it to the cross. That was a prayer of supplication to God that if it's possible, Lord, if it's possible, would you take it away? Would you help me? I'd like to come back to this thought a little later in the message. Another supplication prayer was Hannah's prayer for a child. Their priest Eli he was high priest at the time, and he saw this woman. Her mouth was moving, and no words were coming forth, no sound, and he thought she was drunk. And he said, well, woman, lay off the drink. And she said, well, I'm not drunk, I'm praying. And then I'm sorry. May the Lord give you what you are asking for. And the Lord did. He gave her a child. So this morning again, do you have specific needs in your life? Do I have specific needs in my life? I know I do, and I'm sure you do. Pray, asking God to help you find a way through the maze of life. Pray that God would give you direction, that God would give you wisdom. Wisdom and grace. You know, pray for wisdom. Raising children is a large, large responsibility. We can't do it on our own. We make enough of mistakes with God's help, because we are human. It's not God's fault, it's our fault, of course. But ask for wisdom, pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom to relate redemptively to people that misunderstand us or misuse us. We all have those times as well. And pray for faith, for patience, grace, strength, submission and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This is all needs that we have personally, and that we need to ask God to help us, to supplicate God, to ask in supplication, a prayer of supplication. The second one is prayers. First of all, supplications and prayers. The prayers has the idea of being more of a general prayer, maybe more in a public setting, praying for all men everywhere, in all situations. And it gives us an example here, verse 3 and 4. This is good, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And this, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. You know, we don't know the needs of all the people in all places. We don't know that. And we can't, you know, the people in India, I don't know exactly what they are facing this morning. We can generalize it. We can pray that God would be able to draw them to him. We can pray that God's peace would reign in their heart. But we don't know what they're actually facing. So in a general sense, we pray. We pray in a general sense. We pray more in a family devotions. It's a little bit more public, a public prayer. A lot of times it becomes more general. That's what the prayers means. It's more of a general public prayer. But the closer to our heart and life someone or something comes, the more it should transition from a general prayer to a intercessory prayer, which is the next one. It says intercessions. Intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is asking for something on the behalf of someone else. So the closer someone becomes to our heart, the closer a situation comes to our heart, the more we know about it, the more it should transition from a general prayer to an intercessory prayer. More specific, more directed to God for you. Turn to John chapter 17. I'd like to give you an example of an intercessory prayer that is from the Lord himself. Remember the title? Lord, teach us to pray. We'll just start in verse 9. I think his prayer started earlier in the chapter, but we'll just start in verse 9. John chapter 17. This is again Jesus' prayer. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. So he's saying, I am going to pass from this life to I'm going back to God, so I'm praying for my followers, my disciples, the ones that followed me. I'm praying for these specifically, the ones that were there at that time. Lost my place here. But now I am no more, verse 11, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. So this was a specific prayer of Jesus to God. He said, Holy Father, keep my people, keep my children, and help them to be one as we are one. A specific prayer. A specific prayer to the need of the hour. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Thine those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Verse 13, now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they have my joy fulfilled in themselves. That they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. There again, it was a very, very specific prayer. Jesus said, I'm not praying, Father, that you would take these children out of the world. I'm not praying that you would just remove all Christians. But he's saying, keep them from evil. Keep them that they would not imbibe the evil influence around them. I pray not that thou, verse 16, for they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So again, Jesus was very, very specific in his prayer in saying that, Lord God, I am committing these people to you. I am committing for you to sanctify these people. Make them holy. Make them children of God that bring glory to you. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now Jesus is coming down through the ages and he's praying for you and I. He's very specific in his prayer. He says, I don't pray just for these, my disciples now, my children now, but he's saying everybody that believes on the Lord through the word of the disciples, through his own word, I'm praying for them, Father. I'm praying that that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So that's the reason, that's one of the reasons that Jesus Christ is praying for his people, for us this morning, is that we would be one with God, and that we would be one with each other, and that we would bring glory to him, and that the world can look on and see that God is real. God is powerful. He works in the children of men, in the heart of the children of men. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Again, same thing, that the world may know. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus Christ's intercessory prayer was very, very specific. And I think that is what the Apostle Paul was trying to teach Timothy, is to be specific in your intercessory prayer, to know what you're praying for, and to pray. You know, we can pray for our friends, our church family. We can pray for protection. We can pray for safekeeping. We can pray, for salvation, faithfulness, repentance, endurance to the end. And we also need to intercede for our enemies, the Bible says, Matthew 5, 43 to 48. Prayer, intercessory prayer, is not just, doesn't revolve around me, but it revolves, it's me praying for others. And then the last one here is, and giving of thanks. I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Gratitude, a prayer of thanksgiving and praise to God for all his gifts to the children of men. You know, we have so much to thank God for. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. There are two sentences in this chapter, and they cover about 9 verses. Two sentences. But this again was Paul writing to the church at the Ephesus, and he was praying. Or a thing that was very, very important to him was the thought that God made him accepted in the Beloved. A very, very needful thing to have gratitude in or to give thanks. Verse 3, chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God the Father and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Just pausing a little bit. Does that thrill your heart this morning? Does that make a well of thanksgiving rise in your heart that you, through Jesus Christ, are made accepted in him? Praise God for that. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. Again, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. A prayer of gratitude. Thank God for his salvation. Thank God for choosing me out of the billions of people to know his will, to do his will. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. I think it's our responsibility to and privilege to also praise God for physical healing, physical health, and just physical protection. You know, I was it this week that Wes, you posted something on about that drone in Ukraine. How that the drone, and I don't know all the details, but the man was bringing some refugees or some people out of out of the danger zone, and he was driving down the road and he saw this drone come up, and the drone saw him and turned toward him. Is that the way it was? And he said, "Lord," he just figured his time is up. He's going to get killed. And he just prayed. I don't know what he said. It was just, "Lord." But the drone came up and went over him and exploded behind him. Protection, physical. That is God's job for his people. I shouldn't say that, God's job, and yet that is God's way. Do you thank God for physical protection? I think we need to. You know, Luke 18, verse 43 says, and this was when Jesus was healing a man that was blind. He said, "Immediately he received his sight, followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." You know, I'm also reminded how much a life of holiness and righteousness brings praise and glory to our Heavenly Father. Philippians 1, verse 11 says, "Being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of our God." When we live a life of righteousness, when we have fruit coming out of our life that is from God, we bring glory and praise to him. 1 Peter 1, verse 7, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 4:11, "If any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." There's an attorney general in the state of New York City, or in the state of New York, by the name of Letitia James. And I don't know when she ran for attorney general, but she ran on the promise that she will be not only a thorn in Trump's side, but she will do everything she can to bring him to justice. She brought a suit against him for falsifying his financial, I'm not sure what all happened there, but whatever he did, he falsified some papers that gave him a better interest rate. It wasn't that he didn't have money to cover, it wasn't that he defrauded anybody other than the fact that he wasn't truthful in saying, again, I'm not exactly sure how it all went. But the attorney general sued him, the state of New York City sued Trump, and won. come forward about a year and a half. Today, we find out that this attorney general has done the same thing, 100% the same thing. She falsified papers to give her a better interest rate for her places of that she bought. She bought a place in Virginia. She said that was her primary residence, which gave her a better rate, interest rate. She also said that her father was her husband. I'm not sure what that helped, but anyhow, that's what she did. She could not be attorney general if she lived in Virginia. She could not be attorney general in the state of New York. She also falsified an apartment building. She said it was a four-family dwelling, and it was actually a five-family dwelling. And right there, was between the two, was the difference in interest. Well, today, the Trump administration is going after her because they're getting even with her, is what it all appears to. She sued Trump, now Trump is suing her. You know, does that bring glory to God, is my question. Absolutely not. That is expected of a humanistic man or woman. That is expected. That's just the way humans act. Now, last week I was over in Salem, Arkansas. I was talking to a customer, and never met the man before. In fact, I don't even remember his name. But we were talking, again, I don't even know what we're talking about, other than the fact that he mentioned the school shooting in the Nickel Mine school shooting. And he was just, how long ago did that happen? Does anyone know? It had to be 20 years ago, probably 15, 20 at least. And here this man still remembered that. And what was so amazing to me was that he was giving God the glory for the way that these people acted there at the Nickel Mine School. You know, as I recall, there was this school shooting went worldwide, and there was people from every country, but there was a lot of people from other countries that were sending messages to the parents, to the teachers, of the way that they responded, and it just brought glory to God. Why? It was because they were willing and able to give it to God. I'm sure that it was hard. I'm sure that it was that they struggle. But my question again this morning is, which brings more glory to God, the Trump Letitia case or the Nickel Mine school shooting? Which would you say? Why? Amen. So again this morning, are we able to give it to God? Just a couple more thoughts. Our memory verse this morning. In Jeremiah 29 verse 12 to 13. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Ye shall seek me and find me. When ye shall seek, search for me with all your heart. Luke 11, 9 and 10. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto you. John 14. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for very work's sake. Verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Matthew 21, verse 22. Matthew 21, verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, I told you I was going to come back to Jesus' experience in the garden. And I read that this morning, and I don't remember which book I read it in. But my prayer this morning was Jesus' prayer in the garden unheard by the Father? Was it? No. How do we know? The angels ministered to him. What was his prayer? Can anyone tell me? What was Jesus' prayer in the garden? Okay. Did the cup pass from him? So was his prayer unheard? Was it unanswered? You know, sometimes we have this idea that we pray to God. We can pray anything we want to. We can say, Lord, we need this and this and this. It's just a give me attitude. And the Bible has said, ask what you want. I'll give it to you. Is that what God is saying? I don't think it is. Jesus' prayer was answered. The Lord came and strengthened Jesus Christ before he had to go through his trial. God did not take away his need to go through the cross. He did not take that away. And God heard his prayer, but he gave him strength to go through. You know, sometimes the answer we receive is not the answer we expect. And therefore we say, well, God didn't hear our prayer. I believe that the teaching here is that we find submission to the will of the Father. We pray that God, your will would be done. That was Jesus' prayer. He said, let this cup pass from me, but thy will be done. He found submission and joy in doing the Father's will. Is that where we find our joy? Is that where you find your joy? Let's kneel for prayer.